The bus driver stared at me funny when I dropped my money into the slot where it is supposed to go. I made sure that the 2 50-cent coins did not touch either side of the metal box when I dropped them. I do not like it when the coins touch the sides of the slot. I was annoyed that I had to use coins. I usually prefer paying with a card, because you know where your bus card has been. You don't know where coins have been. They may have been touched by hundreds of other people's hands before they reached your hands. And that shopkeeper that hands you the coins may have been sick. And he may have rubbed his nose with his hand before he handed you the money. And you may now also be sick because of this. Just thinking about all this makes me feel uneasy. Like the way I feel when people sneeze close to me. Or when they breathe too loud. Or when they eat close to me. Or when Dr. Charles asks me too many questions. When the bus conductor looked at me, I stared right back at him, which is something I do not ordinarily do. I usually avoid eye contact. I just don't want to know that much about someone, you know? Like when you look into someone's eyes and you see that they used to be lighter than they are now, that there is a blackness covering some of the blue or green or brown, and the blackness sounds like a bass. And now you wish that you didn't know that this person was unhappy, but there is no way of unknowing this. So that is why I do not usually look at people in the eye. Except for my mom. And this bus driver. He tells me I have compulsions. Dr. Charles, that is. And that although sometimes I feel like I have to do something, like the way I have to blink every 46 seconds, I don't actually have to do it. It's just like trying not to scratch a really bad itch or something. I don't understand that, though. Because if I didn't have to do it, then why would I do it? By the way, I don't actually have to blink every 46 seconds. When I'm distracted, I don't do it. I suppose I just forget or something. But then I feel uneasy and angry. Because if I don't keep count, then what if I blink on the wrong second? What if I blink on second number 41? Or even worse, 38? I hate the number 38. My auntie was 38 when she died. She died of blink, blink. Crap, I forgot to do the plan. Dr. Charles told me about the plan a while ago. The plan that I keep forgetting to use is that when I think I'm going to do something, like blink, or wash my hands for the second or third time, or check to see if the front door is locked for the third time when I'm leaving for school, I should say, stop. See, I don't want to look stupid. If I saw someone say stop randomly to themselves, I would think that they are pretty stupid or weird. But anyways, I am then to count backwards from 10, but I can skip 8 and 1 because I don't like those numbers, and evoke a pleasant scene. Those were his exact words. I know, right? Sometimes I think Dr. Charles is a bit of a fool. It makes me angry to think that a doctor can be stupid. When I asked him what pleasant scene I should evoke, I think he could hear the sarcasm in my voice, because his lips pursed like they do when he's irritated. Then his lips went back to normal, and he told me that any happy memory would suffice, or else I could just think about something happy that hasn't actually happened. I don't get how you can think of something that hasn't happened. That's another reason why I think Dr. Charles is stupid. But anyways, I thought about it, and then I remember that time when I was 5, and supposed to be asleep. I could hear the TV on, so I crept downstairs. The living room door was slightly ajar. I like that word, ajar. It's nice to say, isn't it? And anyways, I peered in. My mom and dad were sitting on the couch. They were watching a movie, I think. And my mom was drinking red wine because she loves red wine, especially recently. And anyways, they both looked really happy. Because my dad had his arm wrapped around my mom's shoulders, and my mom liked it. And then something happened in the TV program or film that they were watching, and they both laughed, and they both looked really happy. And I think I really loved them in that moment. When I told Dr. Charles all this, he looked a bit puzzled that this was the memory that I chose, because technically, he said, I wasn't even in it. I snapped back at him that he should have been more specific about which memory to choose then. and he went quiet after that. And it annoyed me, because he sort of ruined that memory for me now. Even now, as I try to remember it properly, all I can think of is Dr. Charles's chubby face and his mustache that makes him look suspicious or something. So I don't think his plan is ever really going to work. If I'd come up with the whole thing by myself, I might have had a shot. Now I just feel angry when I see my mum and dad in that memory, all happy and laughing, because Dr. Charles's stupid shadow is in the way. Maybe I should ask Mum if I could go to a new doctor. But this is already my third, so I think she would be disappointed in me. Maybe she should be. My mum says I was an unusual child. Imagine telling your son that he was unusual. Sometimes she really has no manners. Anyways, she told me I didn't used to talk at all. I used to just sit there playing with Lego or something. I don't remember any of this. I just sit there, all quiet-like. And apparently back then, I didn't have any tics. Imagine that. I wonder what age I was when they started. Apparently though, my mum could tell that I had OCD. She said the way I'd play with Lego and all, I'd always be making sure all of the pieces were aligned and that each section would have a certain colour. I don't get how she knew from that I had OCD. Like, that's just common sense, isn't it? I remember funny things about the past. I think it's odd, the things that we remember. A lot of the time, the stuff we remember seems quite irrelevant. For instance, I have this really clear memory of my dad making my mother a sandwich. I think it was her birthday or something. I'm pretty sure there was a reason as to why he was making my mother a sandwich. And I remember watching him as he put cucumber in it. My mum hates cucumber. I remember watching all this from the corner of the room. I used to really like sitting in corners of rooms. I still do like it, but I don't do it anymore, because I want to be normal. And normal people don't do that. Or at least, I don't think they do. Anyways, when my mum took a bite of the sandwich, she immediately spat it out. And then she started laughing. "How is it that we've been married 11 years and you don't know that I hate cucumber?" my mum asked incredulously. She didn't say it mean, though. She said it in between gasps of air. She was laughing that hard. My dad started chuckling to himself. My dad's laugh is real deep and manly sounding. "Even the bloody gardener knows that I hate cucumber," my mother exclaimed. My father shrugged nonchalantly and picked up the sandwich. Both of my parents were staring at each other, and I remember my mother's eyes were telling my father, "Don't you dare eat that sandwich." My father ate it anyways. I'm pretty sure he said something along the lines of, "Well, someone has to eat it." So that's my memory. You see, it's not a memory of much actual significance. And there's so much more important stuff that I can't remember. Like when I had what my mom refers to as my episode last year. I don't remember that at all. It's funny though. I would never change the memory of my dad making that sandwich. Not for anything in the world. I'm looking out the window now, at all the people. People watching is always a good distraction, especially on buses. It's nice because for a while you forget yourself. You know what I mean? You forget who you are. You're not yourself when you're people watching. You're everybody else. And that's a nice feeling. It makes you feel sort of invincible or something. But then again, sometimes it gets a bit disorientating. I mean, there's just so many of them. People, that is. I remember I asked my mom before. I asked her why there were so many people. I remember she sighed. I was always asking her these questions that made her sigh, because she never knew the answer to them. But unlike me, she just accepted the fact that there wasn't an answer. Or not even that. Even if there was an answer, she wouldn't care. She wouldn't really want to know. People are very happy to live in their limited knowledge. Or that's what I think, at least. I think when people reach a certain age, they stop questioning things and start just blindly accepting them. For some reason, that makes me incredibly sad. I don't know. That's what my mom said when I asked her about all the people. I think if she was in a different mood, she might have said something else. She might have made something up. She can be good like that. When she's in the mood, that is. But when I asked her, it was after my sister Katie had moved away, and Mom was all in her head. Her eyes looked blank during that time, I remember. They were like mirrors. Because I suppose they were turned inwards, her eyes, that is. Like she was looking and thinking all inside herself, instead of outside. Kind of like me, I suppose, during my episode. But let's not get into that right now. I have to get off the bus now. I'm going to my dad's house, if you want to know the truth. I often wonder when my parents are going to stop fighting and get back together. Because I know that they're supposed to be together. To be honest, I've blocked out a lot of the bad stuff about my parents. I don't have any fully formed images or memories the way I do with the good stuff. I don't think it's denial. I just know that my parents aren't supposed to be angry at each other. I know that they weren't ever supposed to fight. I know that it was just wrong, plain and simple. So I think that's why some of it is gone from my mind. Because simply, for me, none of it ever happened. And I know that they will get back together. I have faith in that. Because, really, things aren't so bad. You just have to look at them in a certain way. People, I think, generally look at things in the other way.
That was Bus by Dermot Christophers, read by Hugh O'Connor and produced by Aoife McCormack, a shortlisted story from the 2014 RTE Radio Francis McManus Short Story Competition. The series of this year's 25 shortlisted stories continues tomorrow with Oh Danny Boy by Peter McNiff, read by Aaron Monaghan. The shortlisted stories and other information are on the programme website, rte.ie/radio1. The series producer of the Francis McManus Short Story Competition is Cleon in the Onluin.